In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The time we get to Epiphany, we have reached the end of the 12 days of Christmas. All those calling birds, French hens, turtle doves, and partridges in pear trees have been given away. But before our Christmas song ends, let us go back one more time to Bethlehem to see Jesus reveal himself to those wise men. Their journey is full of mystery and wonder. Who were these magi? Where did they come from? How many came? And how did they know to seek the birth of the King of the Jews by a star in the sky? And why did the humble birth of a king of an obscure nation concern them anyways? These questions are among the many raised in the corpus of Scripture that must remain unanswered, because Scripture provides no answer for them. But in the broader picture, the visit of the wise men matters greatly, especially to us Gentiles. It proves that what God said through Isaiah was already coming true, even in Jesus' infancy. A great light had come in Israel at Jesus' birth, a light that did not merely enlighten Israel, but one that would soon shine over the entire world, breaking through the spiritual darkness of Gentile and Jew as Christ is revealed as the Savior of all. Arise, shine, for your light has come, God proclaims through Isaiah to Israel. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. It makes sense, of course, that God would cause a bright light to appear in the sky to point the way to his Son, Jesus, who is the light of the world. Through Isaiah, God had given notice that Israel's Messiah was not for Israel only. All nations would be drawn to his light. Yes, he was born a son of David in the city of David, but the star which shone over Bethlehem lit up the dark skies of Israel's neighbors, signaling that the newborn Christ would enlighten the darkness of the entire world. But the wise men didn't know that yet. These stargazers simply saw a new star in the sky, consulted their scrolls, and stumbled upon a prophecy of a newborn king of the Jews, whose birth would be heralded by a bright star. Drawn to that light, they packed their things and prepared themselves for a long journey to Israel. Since they were seeking the newborn king of the Jews, they journeyed to Jerusalem, the home of Israel's kings, and presented themselves to King Herod. They said to him, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." The wise men couldn't have known that the Messiah would not be an ordinary king and was not born to exercise temporal power over Israel. They couldn't have known that the only crown this king would ever wear would be one of thorns. They couldn't have known this. But the people of Israel, especially her religious leaders, steeped in the knowledge of prophecy upon prophecy concerning their Messiah, should have known at least some of who and what to look for in the Messiah. But when Herod the king heard that another king was born in the midst of his reign, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It is interesting that pagan mystics noticed the star signifying the birth of the King of the Jews and were so excited that they traveled across the nations to greet him. But the kinsmen of the Messiah were terrified at the hearing of his coming. This theme would continue through Jesus' life as outsiders within Israel would continue to be drawn to him, while those who should have been most prepared for his coming drove him to his cross, where, once again, a foreigner, a Roman centurion who played an active role in Jesus' crucifixion, would proclaim, "Truly, this was the Son of God. As soon as the wise men were directed by Scripture to Bethlehem as this king's birthplace, they believed and went on their way again. This time, the star, behaving in much the same way as the pillars of cloud and fire did for the Israelites in the Exodus, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. The wise men believed in Christ, as foretold by the Scriptures, which became a lamp to their feet and a light to their path, pointing them the way to their Messiah. They saw him, the babe, prostrated and worshipped that holy child. They offered precious gifts, once again fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. They shall bring forth gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Gold, a gift for a king. Frankincense, which accompanied prayer and sacrifice, and was a gift for a god. And myrrh, used to prepare bodies for burial, a gift for one who would die. In seeking something greater than themselves, in searching the Scriptures, in following its guidance, and in worshiping the one whom they were called to worship, the wise men did indeed demonstrate wisdom. For they recognized that God sent a king not just for the Jews, but for them as well. Jesus was born for all people, Gentile and Jew, because all people, all of us, have something in common. That we are sinners. Sinners in need of someone to make sacrifice for us. And since all of us are indeed wretched sinners, Christ died for all people, lifted high upon his cross, drawing all people to himself as the Savior and Redeemer of the world. God no longer guides his people through stars. Indeed, we are not to lust after such obscure signs and wonders. No, we have something better. His word, a word that each and every one of us has in our own homes, and a word that each and every one of us is called to hear in this place prepared for us to hear it, in the church. In this place, we are again and again called to repentance and faith in the King of Kings, born and living and dead and raised for us. It is in this place that we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection by partaking of his precious body and blood in the sacrament of his altar. And it is in this place where we are empowered to go out and serve our King by loving our neighbor, by pointing those around us, the Son of God, just as the star did so many years ago. And so, after paying homage to the newborn king, the wise men departed to their own country by another way, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod. The verses that follow tonight's gospel are indeed dark. They detail Herod's murderous slaughter of all male children aged 2 and younger in an attempt to kill the one who he perceived to be his rival. But Jesus was spared. It was not yet his time to die. Herod's rampage demonstrates that the world is indeed a dark place, and that at times it seems as if the darkness has snuffed out the light. But for you, dear Christian, your light has come. You need not fear the terror of the night, for the light of the world, whose name is Jesus Christ, has risen upon you, bringing you to peace with God, a peace which passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.